Live and direct from Stuck Between Studios, right here in Brooklyn, New York. It's Exit 11 on the Road to Shambhala podcast with me, your host, Sam Dingman, who is so glad to have you here, he can't even tell you. Instead, what he will tell you is what you're about to hear. We are going to have the debut on the program of the Road to Shambhala Spirit Guide, a gentleman by the name of Midnight Rudy. He has some insights, which hopefully you will find helpful as we travel along the road together. After that, an update. I've been hearing from a great number of you as to the missing in action nature of our Philadelphia correspondent Benjamin Camp. Well, I share those sentiments. I would like to hear more from him too, but he's been very, very busy and has sent along some voicemails indicating what he's been up to. So we're going to play those and you'll see just exactly what has been going on that's been keeping him off the podcast waves. And those emails will also show us why it is important to keep the trifles of our own lives in perspective. Now, underlying all of this will be glorious and excellent music, as usual. This week it comes from Chris Kubeta and the Liars Club and Mark Orleans. So we will have that rockin' for you. If at any point during the proceedings you would like to contact us, you can do that. We have a phone number, it's 909-SHAZAPS, and we also have an email address. It's shambhalaradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We make this show for you, and we want you to have the best time possible while you're hearing it. So, with that in mind, it is now time for you to sit back and relax, because the introduction to the show ends in just a few short seconds. So thank you for listening to the Road to Shambhala podcast. It begins right now.
Hello, Sam. I hope I have the right person. This is the laundromat. Please pick up your laundry. We have no room. And I think it's going to be an extra charge for storage since you left it a long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, receiving a voicemail like the one I've just played for you does not do a great deal for one's self-esteem. As a matter of fact, it contributes to the increasingly likely possibility that rather than living a life that is the stuff of legend, I will instead take my rightful place in history's dustbin. At times like this, I find it is most prudent to turn to the spirit guide of the Road to Shambhala podcast, the one, the only, Mr. Midnight Rudy. They say it all slips away, like the open road, towering away in a thin triangle behind you, and the steering wheel rattle massaging away the miles. I got me a 1989 Cutlass Cruiser station wagon, or is it a 1987 Volvo 240 DL wagon? Maybe it's an old yellow taxi cab with the medallion number painted over. Maybe it still fools people and they flag me down on the rare occasions I venture into residential neighborhoods and city streets. Maybe I always make a point of stopping. Who has time between the rear view mirror ornaments, all the western wear stores, seasonal produce stands, and the smell of Shamrock restaurant apple pie, when there are vinyl pizza booths, a stained glass hanging dome lamps, and the soft denim of your good old blue jeans around your testicles? Who has the time to compare Radisson's to Red Roof Inns, to ponder the pleasant sibilance of Brooklyn, Boston, Beverly Hills, Boca Raton, Berkeley, Baltimore? Baltimore. Damn it. Baltimore. No town, and I've seen nearly all of them, has a better name than Baltimore. On hot days, my testicles hang like sweaty bird eggs. I do believe I'll smoke myself a clove
Some folks keep their thoughts in a diary or a journal, some such thing. Some keep them in a guitar, some in a bottle. Some folks have wholly surrendered their thoughts to famous individuals with no thoughts of their own. As for me, every time I get out of my 1992 Chrysler Town and Country, vermilion in color, I realize I left my thoughts on the highway. And I'd better go back out and retrieve them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Stuck Between Studios has been positively inundated in recent weeks with listener mail, most of it asking the exact same question, where the hell's Ben Camp at? Well, I have been wondering the same thing, my friends. I have not been able to reach the man. Now, as we know, he's a man of great import, but that does not mean he can shirk his Road to Shambhala reporting duties. We need to know what's going on in Philadelph Town. What is it? Is he a little too big for his Road to Shambhala reporting britches? We do purchase reporting britches for all of our Philadelphia correspondents. I don't know if you were aware. And we were concerned he's become too big for them. But then I received a string of voicemails explaining his recent activities. And it's clear that he is just very, very busy.
Hi, this is Ben Camp from Philadelphia. Just giving a brief update on Philadelphia. There's a lot of dust bunnies today that I'm trying to get all swept up, taken care of here in the city. So that's what I'm doing today. It is Wednesday. All right, talk to you tomorrow. Bye. Hey, it's Ben. I just got home. I'm going to have some dinner. I'm planning to have a salad like the one they make at Cosi. I don't know if you've had the signature salad, but I got myself some grapes and some pistachios and some cranberries. I'm going to put a raspberry Cabernet vinaigrette on that. I'm actually pretty excited about it. I'm going to make a really big, big salad. So that's what I'm having for dinner. Hope you're doing well. Bye. Hey, it's Ben. It's a little tough to wake up this morning, and I just got back from nannying. So that was tough, but it was okay. I mean, the kid was had a little bit of a rough day at school, and so we had peanut butter and jelly, and then we drew a comic book. But I'm home now, so okay, talk to you later. All right, I want to see if you guys can hear this. This is an attempt to record the sound of my cat purring. Bye. Hey, it's Ben. I'm just stopped at a red light here, a little bit of traffic on the way home from 30th Street Station. I'm going to get home, see my wife, looking forward to that. Oh, it turned green. Okay, bye.
Okay, so fine. So he's had a lot of stuff on his plate, and I understand that he's not been able to engage in his regular reporting load. But then something very upsetting happened. Namely, space aliens called me. Now, I know I regularly on this show say, give me a call, 909-SHAZAPS, I'd love to know what you think of the show. That offer does not extend to extraterrestrials. I am not interested in your feedback. I don't know if I successfully made this clear previously. Clearly not, because I received this voicemail.
Greetings, Chambu. We are glad, as you know, as far podcast reaching the dark expanses. It fills us with joy. Therefore, we have chosen you from all your cohorts to receive this message. We meet you soon. All we seek are small earthling animals for comfort, as please prepare several rhinoceros. Thank you. We try to contact the appropriate suppliers. Also, an inquiry. You speak often of Shaw's apps and the Shaw's app. We have typed this word into Google Translator and found no suitable translation. Please help us. This tragic situation. Yours truly, Ingrid.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind telling you that when I received this voicemail, I was terrified. First of all, also, I was very nervous because clearly, if the aliens are contacting me on the 909 Shazap's telephone line, that means that I have certain responsibilities to the government. If they need me to serve as an undercover alien secret agent, kind of a liaison with the aliens, I may have to, pretend that I'm their friend so that they feel that they can communicate with me, and then in the end double-cross them. That could be very dangerous for me. I don't want to go into it, but I have had some contact with the CIA about this, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue doing the show. So there's that. That would obviously be a very great tragedy for America, even if it prevents the aliens from successfully invading. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that. Also, what are the dark expanses that they are referring to? I hope that they're just talking about space and that that's where they're located. If they mean it in a metaphorical sense, like they want me to descend into some kind of dark expanse of madness, I don't have room in my schedule for that. You think Ben Camp's busy. I have a podcast to run here. So sorry, aliens, you picked a busy guy. Lastly, they want me to do something with rhinoceroses. It sounds like some kind of sacrifice. I don't know if I have made this sufficiently clear on this program, but I have a deep and enduring reverence for the rhinoceros. As a matter of fact, I consider it to be something of a sacred animal. So I'm not going to be willing to do that for them. And what are they going to do to me when I tell them no? I was worrying about all of these things, and I didn't know what to do. But then, right at the moment that I feared that panic would consume my very physical being, I received one final voicemail from Benjamin Camp.
Hey, it's Ben. Got a bit of a sore throat this morning, had some vitamin C, but I'm feeling better. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I'm going to get some echinacea or something later. All right, bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I heard these words and I said to myself, shame on you, self. You think you have problems? You think it's an issue that the U.S. government needs you to be a super secret space agent and fight aliens in the name of protecting the sanctity of the rhinoceroses? You think it's a problem that they need you to serve as secret agent Nintendo Pants? No, Ben Camp has problems. You do not have problems. So this is a message to the U.S. government. I will serve as the go-between, and I will correct these space aliens' misconceptions about rhinoceroses. They probably think that the rhinoceros horn in powdered form is used as an aphrodisiac in traditional Chinese medicine. No, it's used to treat fevers and convulsions. You don't know that, aliens. And if I have anything to say about it, you never will. We'll be right back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Vital Topics this week picks up where we left off last week. If you recall, we were discussing the best strategies for throwing Joe Lieberman out of a jet. That, of course, transitions seamlessly, as Vital Topics always does, into the following.
Speaking of weird, fun
again,
vocabulary.
Yes, let us.
I have discovered something recently in terms of, I mean, I'm frequently called upon to defend my adulthood, I feel like, on the show, but I think this may...
And soon your religion.
Okay. This may backpedal a little bit, but corporate vocabulary.
Backfire. I think you went
backfire. Corporate vocabulary.
Oh, yes.
Fills me with such rage. When did the phrase "from now on" become moving forward? Right?
Yep. Oh, yep.
Instead of "from now on, let's do this process a different way." Moving in the way that when, as we're moving forward, while moving forward, when moving forward, until we move forward, shut up! Or let's table this for now.
Yep.
We're sitting around a table. If you table it, it is on the table in front of you.
We're still talking about it.
Circle the wagons.
Ooh,
do you know what circle the wagons means in corporate vocabulary? Circle the wagons means...
work overtime.
I'm not going to talk about it for a little while, and then we're going to bring it up again later.
Really?
That's all it means.
Circle back on something.
Circle back, but circle the wagons, they get mixed up. No one uses them correctly. So they just, you know, they are one and the same thing. But if you're going to, you know, well, I'm going to circle the wagons, and then apparently when you get back around to the other side, the issue is now relevant again.
Do you think this is the reason that the economy is in the pooper?
Because we're playing cowboys and Indians instead of selling our credit swaps properly, or whatever.
Maybe.
You guys,
this week the finance has to be the Indians.
Yeah.
but you guys are all in. Oh, so yeah. Have finance. Been in corporate settings. Like what?
One that I really like, or two that I really like in that same vein, are words that require a certain amount of. Technical or technological awareness to understand the meaning of, but are then used in a way that in fact is not the meaning you would think they are. So, for
leverage.
Example, leverage is one. Let's talk about this offline, which I think is amazing because that is only said when you're having a human conversation.
Right.
And it's like, let's talk about this offline. So,
which also just means later. It means the same thing as circle the wagons, essentially.
Yeah. You would think, let's talk about this offline would mean, well, we're currently IMing about it, or we're currently emailing back and forth. Let's talk about it offline.
In person.
It means we're having a human conversation, so we're going to have a different human conversation besides this one.
Terrible news for you guys. These words and this, like, speech has infiltrated the rest of the world.
Oh, God.
Well, I feel like this is part of the problem, and I see this happening to myself as well, that the longer I listen to this, the more I find myself accidentally saying it. Like, I have to deliberately stop myself from saying moving forward. Mm-hmm. I have to deliberately keep myself from claiming I'm going to leverage patristic Christology in my grad school applications. It's a real problem.
That's a problem on a series of levels, but we'll table that for the moment.
See?
No, it's the on the campaign, the exact same thing happened.
Really?
We had a couple kids who came from that sort of job, and they brought with them all of the, like, corporate speak, and all of our meetings started off with, like, all of the offlines and all of the corporate lingos.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to me because... especially when people get really exhausted, like as people do on the campaign, as you're working like these 18-hour days, more and more they start talking because they know they have to talk, but they don't know what they're going to say yet. So for the first 45 seconds of their speech, they're just filling it in with corporate lingo. So they're just stringing together a series of pointless phrases until they're like, oh, wait, that's where I was going with this. And then they launch into their sentence, and it's just like... everyone just checks out for 45 seconds while this person stumbles through a series of vocabulary words.
That is, I'm looking at my phone right now. I participate in a meeting at my job every week.
Company Sam works at?
Over there at Company Sam works for. where it's the first half of the meeting is all back-end stuff for how the website is going to function. And it's this fascinating combination of technical terms that I don't understand and this perversion of the English language, which also makes no sense. And let me see if I can find... oh, yeah, here it is. I took notes. This guy
wait,
says...
did you take notes about the content of the meeting, or did you just take notes about exactly the sort of dipshittiness that we're talking about in the hopes of using it later to no, comedic effect?
The latter.
Okay. In the event Aaron brought this subject up... completely unplanned.
I also, you mentioned Christology earlier. I can see into the future, and I knew that this conversation would happen.
That has nothing to do with Christology.
That's what you think. In the future, the definition of that word. So I want, I defy any of you to tell me what this sentence means. I'm just hard coding a couple things to make sure that incrementals happen. I'll say it again. I'm just hard coding a couple things to make sure that incrementals happen. What does that mean?
I think it involves an underage intern.
Well, I hope not.
The senator mobile.
Because that means that I could be indicted for my presence at this meeting for reasons that I don't understand.
To be fair, all well, things Sam, being equal, that could happen anyway.
Offline?
Oh. They said, actually, Sam, can we take this offline? I'd like to ping you. I was like,
okay,
sure.
I feel like this actually is just the entire set of jokes that Dilbert has been based on for years.
Someone should remake Smartest Guys in the Room. And well, that's... have it be about how Enron collapsed because everyone's just talking in complete buzzwords.
That's a question. Has Dilbert evolved as right. corporate yeah. language? I haven't read Dilbert in a long time. Does Dilbert say this sort of stuff or comment about it?
I think so.
I don't know, but I do love the idea that Dilbert has now been around for 20 years, and I feel like, you know, I mean, I feel like this is safe to say, Dilbert has sort of been like a punching bag for like, oh, that's that not funny comic strip. And I love the idea that now, 20 years later, we're like, wait, you know what's brilliant? Dilbert.
I mean, I have a couple of Dilbert books, I'm not going to lie.
You should do a
one of them
Dilbert
a
fan fiction for your comedy show.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Audience of two. Ben gets to be pointy haired boss.
Yeah, totally. I kind of want to be Dogbert.
Dueling fax machines, and, like pager jokes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Dated stuff.
Well, I think we all owe it to ourselves to rediscover Dilbert a little bit. I think. But that is a fascinating thing, Aaron, is that, you know, it's like this entire different language. And it's the other thing I like about it is that it's not really, it's not that people are being passive aggressive, I don't think. And it's not that they're trying to sound more important that they are. Maybe that's it sometimes. But I think it's more that the actual processes that have to happen are, in fact, not that complicated. Or at least this is what the way it seems at my job. It's like maybe the actual processes that have to happen, but it's basically just a way of saying like, I'm going to go do the one thing that I was hired for, and you go do the one thing that you were hired for, and hopefully we'll be in the black at the end of the month. Like,
yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's not just that it's not complicated enough. It's just that there's, I think you were kind of onto something with passive aggression, even though it's not aggression per se. I think there's that similar kind of saying things through the back door, but not for any real reason, just as an alternative to saying them directly.
Mm-hmm. So, Garrett, your company is mostly just you and this one other guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
does this come blog up? To yourself in corporate lingo?
Well, I was going to go back to previous jobs I worked at, and I think that the way these kinds of corporate memes spread is actually people are just trying to sound smart. They overhear one person saying it, and that person maybe is in like a position of power, and they're like, huh, that's an interesting, cool way of trying to communicate this. I'm going to like work that in my lingo. It's almost like Big Lebowski-esque where...
To be fair, I think friend groups do that as well. It's not just, yeah. you know, corporate environments.
It's just you're riled up when you're at work. So when these things annoy you, as opposed to friend groups right. where it's like, awesome. They're saying, tundras now. Yeah.
Tundras to your penumbras.
I'm going to start saying that at work and see if it catches on globally.
Yeah.
But the thing is, at work, the memes have to, like, be semi-serious, which is one reason, like, technical memes catch on, I feel like. Because if you say, like, I'll ping you later, once you figure out what ping means, you're like, oh, huh. Like, you...
You know that XKCD comic, which is, you know, my hobby is misusing idioms?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to do that, but with these, so say, I'll bing you later. Or say I'll circle the wagons when I really mean I'll leverage your I'm not gonna finish that.
Yeah, like let's talk about this in line at the Haagen-Dazs. By which I mean, let's continue talking about this while we're getting some ice cream.
And then walk out of the meeting and go get some ice cream.
Why didn't you guys follow me?
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. But I think there's also, I think the thing that's interesting about this is, I think you're right, it is a certain amount of, it is a kind of passive aggression. But then there's a different kind of passive aggression that also exists in jobs, which is, for example, like, when my boss wants to have a conversation with me, he's like, Sam, maybe we could take a couple minutes. And I'm like,
okay.
From who? What, you know?
Play Flash, like, video games.
Right. What? Take a couple minutes.
Take a knee.
To do what? Yeah. Bring it in. Let's take a knee. You know, like, why doesn't he just say, can we meet later? To
can
which
you
I would
say
respond,
no.
Yes.
That's the other question. I mean, like, that's what I always like about those little, like, boss questions is like, hey, can we chat for a second? Do
no.
I have an option?
No, we can't. What, and then
Magic
your boss is like,
says, ask again later.
What would be great is
circle back on this one. Yeah.
Can we circle the wagons? I'm
in line for Haagen-Dazs, so.
Exactly.
I gotta go catch a cone.
All right. On that note of departure, we actually do have to go because it's time for Films of Fury. So this is Vital Topics. Thank you so much, Aaron Hollander.
Sure.
Alan Smith.
You shouldn't thank us for this one.
Garrett Hall.
Let's grab a few and talk offline.
Oh God, make it stop. Ladies and gentlemen, as you are hopefully aware at this point, Grover T. Boswell, a resident archivist, is a true artist. And like any artist, he's never quite satisfied with his working methods. He's always tinkering and making changes. So listen closely to hear if you can figure out the changes he's made in his methodology in this week's edition of All's Well with Boswell.
Hello, this is G.T. Boswell. On the road to Shambhala. My nephew said he can always hear my papers rustling. I said it is because I have to read what I am saying. He said, why don't you put it all on one page? So I put it all on one page. But now the words are as small as a moose. I can hardly read them. It is the time to buy presents, or gifts as I call them. Did you remember to buy your gifts this year? I write a poem instead of buying a gift, because it is less expensive. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. If you are a Buddhist or a Muslim, hello. This is G.T. Boswell. Good night and good luck.
Well, there you have it. Exit 11 on the Road to Shambhala podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in once again, everybody. It was so good to have you with us this week, as it is every week.
somewhat shorter experience this week. You know, we're trying out a bunch of different layouts and formats, so I hope you enjoyed this week's styles and stylizations. Speaking of said styles and stylizations, huge thanks to Mr. Mark Orleans on the guitar. That was his music you heard underneath Midnight Rudy at the beginning. I heard him playing in the Union Square R train station some weeks ago and got up the nerve to ask for his phone number, gave him a call, and he very graciously agreed to let me use his beautiful music, which you can hear more of at myspace.com/MarkOrleans. That's MarkOrleans. And of note, a good friend of his and fellow guitarist named Jack Rose recently passed away at the terribly early age of 38. And his music and career will be celebrated on a tribute record on Thrill Jockey Records, which is at thrilljockey.com. Mark will be performing on that record, so take a look at the website for news on that front. Chris Kubeta and the Liars Club was our other awesome musical guest. You can hear more of them and find out more about them at chriskubeta.com. And if you're right here in the Brooklyn area, come join me at Union Hall on January 29th when they will be playing live. They're awesome live, and I've heard them in that Union Hall space before. They sound great in there, so I will hopefully see you there. Thanks to Ben Camp, Aaron Hollander, Alan Smith, and Garrett Hall for all of their contributions this week. Ben Camp, in particular, for taking time out of his very busy schedule. Virginia Coalition, forever my favorite band. Our intro and outro music, Lonely Cowboy, and The End of the Road. I hope you guys will stay tuned to the Road to Shambhala over the holidays. We've got some very cool alternate episodes planned for you. I won't be able to do full episodes right here at Stuck Between Studios because I'll be out of town, but we've got some great content cooked up for you. So keep it tuned to roadtoshambhala.com and give me a call at 909-SHAZAPS or email me at shambhalaradio@gmail.com and tell me what you would like to hear more of and or less of. The Road to Shambhala is copyright 2009 Bright Machine Productions and was recorded and produced right here at Stuck Between Studios in Brooklyn, New York. In the words of the inimitable John Miller and the immortal Dr. Bob Frapples, swing hard in case you hit it. And they're not all going to be home runs.